Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Say it out loud. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. God never told you to be strong in yourself. Yeah, I'm just trying to be strong. Well, quit it and don't be strong yourself. Be strong in the Lord. In the Lord and in the power of His might. The Amplified says, draw your strength from the Lord. You know, it's available, but we have to draw upon it. When He said, be strong, the understood subjects you and me. Isn't that right? We can't say, Lord, make me strong. He didn't say here, pray that the Lord would make you strong. He said, you be strong. That's something we do by, as the Amplified says, drawing our strength from the Lord. Well, how do you do that? Well, remember Isaiah 40, I believe. It says, they that wait on the Lord, they'll renew their strength. Hallelujah. And then the Bible says that in 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, verse number 16, it talks about the outward man perishes, but the inward man is renewed day by day. So every day, take time to fellowship with Him, feed on His Word. Amen. It's the Word that's your spiritual food. Amen. And if you're going to be strong, just like in the physical, you have to eat.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. Amen. Yes. Eat the Word. Amen. Remember John said in 1 John chapter number 2 to the young men, he said, yeah, I write unto you, young men, because he said, you are strong, the Word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. So being strong means getting the Word on the inside of you. And that doesn't happen if you take just Wednesdays and Sundays, if that's all you do to get the Word into you, that's going to take a long time.
Yes,
yeah. Amen. You need to be more diligent on your own than just Sundays and Wednesdays.
Right.
Amen. Some people think, well, do I have to go to church on Wednesday night? I mean, I go on Sunday, but do I have to go on Wednesday night? No, you get to. You get to be strong.
Yeah.
You get to be strong.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Some people, I don't know, their thinking just isn't going to get them very far. So, but anyway, that's verse 10. Verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Put on the whole armor of God. Now, verse 10 again, he said, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. The power of His might is the Holy Ghost. Now, that means be continually filled with the Holy Ghost. You're not going to successfully stand against the enemy, because notice he kept saying here in verse 11, actually, if we read on down through there, he'll say stand, 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 withstand, stand, stand against, so forth and so on. You don't have what you need to stand against the enemy as an empty vessel.
That's right.
Empty of the Word, empty of being filled constantly with the Holy Ghost.
That's right. Amen.
Amen.
Being filled with the Holy Ghost doesn't mean come to a service when it's Holy Ghost service.
All right.
That'll get you filled. But you can do this on your own.
Amen.
Be filled your own, in your own private devotional time. By being filled, edifying yourself, speaking in other tongues.
Amen.
I work with people, that's my business, people. And I find that a big part of them having victory is just being strengthened constantly.
Yes.
You know, they think, well, this is happening, that's happening. No, I'll tell you what's happening. You're weak. That's what's happening.
Come on.
It's a spiritual strength battle. Jesus said a strong man armed keeps his palace.
Yeah.
Amen. In other words, and then he said, and then but if a stronger than he comes upon him, he can overcome him and take all his spoils.
Yeah.
Isn't that right?
Yeah.
Well, you just got to be stronger.
That's
yes.
right, sir.
Yep. Yep. Amen.
The enemy will come, but you just have to be stronger.
Yes.
And you have to stand longer.
Yes, you do. Stand longer.
Well, he just persists. Pastor, he just persists. What am I going to do? You're going to stand. That's what you're going to do. And you're going to stand longer than him. And you're going to outlast him.
Yes.
Actually, he's got to outlast you.
Yes.
Yeah.
In all reality.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
And you need to just strengthen yourself constantly to where, no, Mr. Devil, from now to the day I see Jesus, and he says, you can come home now, and you say, goodbye, world, or I say, goodbye, world, that's how long you're going to have to put up with me.
Amen.
Standing, because I will never give up.
Amen.
That's half the battle right there. Just getting to that place is half the battle.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You got to decide. Well, somebody said, well, how long do I have to stand? A mindset like that is a mindset that says, well, I want to get to the place where I quit and I don't have to live this faith stuff anymore.
That's right.
Yeah. Come on.
How long do I have to stand? Well, for the rest of your life, that's how you're going to stand. Might not be that particular test or trials coming against you right now that you have to stand for the rest of your life, but there's going to be a need to stand for the rest of your life. So just enjoy it.
Yes, sir.
Just do it with joy and just say, well, this is the way I roll. What's the option? What's the alternative? Being, you know, giving up and being steamrolled of the devil? I'm talking to somebody tonight. So put on the whole armor of God. That's another part of being strong. Another thing to do to be strong, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So now I want you to circle there he said in verse number 11, stand. Circle stand. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Do you realize there's an atmosphere around us of evil forces?
Yes.
And he mentioned here the prince of the power of the air. Satan's is in the atmosphere, demonic forces in the atmosphere around us. And to be honest with you, sometimes if you get in the presence of God and fellowship with God, sometimes those things are sort of held at bay, especially if you get in the glory and just really get caught up in it. Then you'll realize, my goodness, all that's been opposing me.
Yeah.
Has just been out there constant, but you can live to where you're more conscious of God than you are the devil.
And
sometimes people say, "Oh, the devil's doing this, the devil's doing that." Well, if you spend more time with God, you'd be more conscious of God. But anyway, verse 11, stand. Verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you might be able to what?
Withstand
in the evil day. And having done all to what?
Stand.
Now circle back there, withstand. And then that stand in verse number 13.
Yeah.
So you've got to stand in verse number 11. Now in verse 13, you've got to withstand and you've got to stand.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. So you got them circled, right?
Yes.
Having done all to stand, verse 14, we do what?
Stand.
Mm-hmm. Circle stand in verse 14.
Yes.
And then he mentions having on this armor.
Yes.
Your loins girt about with truth.
Yes. Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
The truth of God's word. I mean, take the word of God and wrap yourself in it.
Yeah.
Gird yourself in it. Wrap it around you. Take the promises of God and wrap yourself in them.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You do that, you won't have to hold on. They'll hold on to you.
Right. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Oh, just holding on. Well, if you wrap yourself in the promises of God, they'd hold you.
Amen.
So he said there, gird yourself with your loins with truth. Then verse number 14 also, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Oh, there's too much here. We won't take the time here. But your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking, look at that, above all. Why do we emphasize faith so much? Because he said above all, taking the shield of faith. Say above all. This is what you need to emphasize above everything.
Yes.
Above all, taking the shield of faith. Literally, the Greek says taking up.
Take it up.
I mean, you got one, but you got to take it up.
Yeah.
The shield of faith.
Hallelujah.
Now notice here. Take up the shield of faith, above all, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. That the wicked means wicked one. Hallelujah. I like that, shall be able. You shall be able. Somebody said, I don't know if I can stand. Oh yeah, you can. You'll be able. You're not standing in your strength.
That's right.
You're standing by the things that God's given you by taking them up. Take up the shield of faith. Take up these, gird your loins with truth, so forth. And to take up the breastplate of righteousness. You need to meditate constantly in the righteousness of God. So, above all, taking the shield of faith wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts. All of them. Every single one of them. Well, you just don't know what's coming against me right now. Well, how do you know? Maybe the Lord spoke to me about you this afternoon and said, tell him to stand.
Yes.
Because he did. He spoke to me about the folks. Tell him to stand.
Yes.
You shall be able to quench all of them, even this one.
Yes, sir.
But Pastor, this is the strongest thing I've ever had come against my life. Such attacks against my mind, such bombardment and thoughts of quitting, thoughts of leaving, thoughts of doing this, thoughts of just disappearing. I know, the Lord showed me this afternoon. Here's the word, stand!
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
But I've never had to stand like this. Yeah, I know, you're on a new level now.
Yes, yeah. Yeah.
Satan's desiring to sift you like wheat.
Yes, sir.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yes. Amen.
Amen. Well, I don't know. I don't have the thrill like I used to have. Well, that's not God's fault.
Come on.
Stir up the gift of God on the inside of you.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, but it just seems like I'm in a rut. Seems like I'm bored. Seems like I'm in a routine. Seems like nothing's happening. Seems like God isn't there like he used to be. Seems like the pastor don't have it for me anymore. Seems like the anointing's just, I used to get a lot out of his services, but I don't get much anymore.
Come on
now. See, there's things coming against you. There's bombardments against your mind. There's attacks against your thought life. Pressure. The word is pressure. Hallelujah. But I'm just thinking about quitting. I'm just thinking about making some decisions to change some things. Don't ever yield to pressure. To make decisions out of the pressure of the enemy. The day you start backing up, that's the day you will never stop back. The devil will. You give him an inch, he'll keep pushing and he'll have you way back out in the world again. And within months, you'll say, how did I get here? I never dreamed I would get to this place. I'll tell you how you got there. You gave him an inch.
Yes, sir.
And you didn't stand.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
Well, I don't know why all this is coming against me. I do. I do. I do. The Lord told me. So we're here to help. Amen. We're not here to condemn. Jesus over there, and we might go over there eventually, but Jesus over in Luke 22, he caught the strategy of the enemy against Peter before Peter was even aware it was coming. See, spiritual people catch things before it's before people are aware of it. But Jesus said, Peter, Simon Peter, says Satan has desired to have you that he might sift you as wheat. Remember him saying that?
Yeah.
Luke 22 there. I don't have the verse in front of me. Is it verse 19 or something like that? But Satan desired to have you that he might sift you as wheat. He said, I've prayed for you that your faith fail not. See, it's the faith issue. That's what he's coming for. He's coming for faith. I prayed for you that your faith fail not. And then he said, when you're converted, strengthen your brethren. Isn't that what he said?
Yes.
I was meditating on that one day and I said, and the Lord actually points something out to me. Because, we needed to understand, I needed to understand this. That all through that whole thing, although Jesus saw exactly what Peter was going to do. He saw the temptation that was coming. You ever been tempted? Somebody said, what do you mean tempted? I mean you come under extreme pressure. Pressure against your thought life. Pressure against your emotions. Pressure against your mind.
Yes, sir.
To just quit. To just give in to certain thoughts. To let them in rather than resist them. But that temptation came to Peter. That pressure to deny Jesus. And Peter actually fell. He denied him. And but Peter thought he was at a place where he could stand, and Jesus is trying to sober him up a little bit. Simon, Peter, Satan's desire to have you, he might sift you as wheat. He's trying to warn him. Because Peter said, well, I'm ready. Verse 33, I'm ready to go with thee both to prison and to death. He said, no, he said, before the cock crows, this day you'll deny me three times. Peter was a bit boastful about his spiritual condition. And wasn't aware of what was about to smack him. And the pressure that he was getting ready to come under. Satan loves to sneak up on people. He loves to let them alone and let them get relaxed and lazy. You know what I'm talking about? And then they just let down their guard, and then wham, he loves to move in on them and just smack them with intense pressure. You know what I'm talking about? And so Peter was at that place. But the thing I wanted you to see here was, although Jesus knew about it and actually prayed him through it, the whole thing, the whole account of this, Jesus didn't condemn him one single time. Amen. Because really, I mean, if you think about it, Jesus, whenever he rose from the dead, he went over there and met Peter. Remember Peter? Do you love me? Yeah. Of course I love you. Then feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Yeah. Of course I love you. Feed my sheep. Remember that? Three times? Got Peter on the third time, got a little perturbed.
Yeah.
He was having him undo those three denials, you know. He said, of course I love you. And then he said, feed my sheep. And so Jesus never condemned him one single time through that whole thing. Do you notice that? Because why? It's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. The love of God is Pastor Debbie and I loving you through these things is one of the weapons we use to help you fight.
Amen.
To help you stand.
Yeah, amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. So we're not preaching this tonight to condemn you. We're preaching this tonight to give you the weapons that you need to stand.
Amen.
Stand against what's coming against you.
Amen.
You know, the devil, there's two times that the devil came against Jesus real strong. I mean, he came against him his whole life, but there's two times we see intense pressure. And the Bible called it, and one of them was whenever Jesus was in the wilderness being tempted 40 days in Luke 4 before he went into his earthly ministry. Remember that? And Satan was opposing him right before that time of increase, right before the anointing came on him. Well, the anointing had already come on him, and he had just been baptized, and the Holy Ghost had come upon him to minister, to walk this earth and minister. And then Jesus was immediately led of the Spirit out into the wilderness, where Satan tempted him 40 days. And that whole time was an intense pressure of the enemy to try to get him tripped up, try to get him stopped before he got into that earthly ministry. And then after it was over, you remember it said that Satan left him for a season. Say season. There are seasons of these kinds of things. Pressure. You know what I mean? Intense pressure trying to get us to... I mean, it can come for different people in different ways or different... it might be a intense pressure to divorce your spouse, to intense pressure to give in to thoughts or give in to temptation of lust of the flesh or just intense pressure to leave and just disappear. I don't know if you've ever had thoughts come to you like that. Well, maybe if I just take my cell phone and turn it off, throw it in the ditch. You know what I'm talking about? Take my car and disappear. Nobody knows my phone number. Nobody knows how to text me. Nobody knows. And I'm just gone. Nobody knows. Maybe I get rid of this pressure. Just keep looking straight ahead. There's different things, different ones of us come under. Amen. We're not here to condemn you tonight.
Amen.
We're just here to catch it and help you catch it and help you realize what it is and why it's there. It came to Jesus right before a season of great increase. Really, the main thing that Jesus was sent to the earth for was to die and redeem us. But the second main thing was to spend that 3.5 years ministering under the anointing and demonstrating and showing man how to live under the authority of the name of Jesus and under the power of God and so forth and so on. And so he was getting ready to enter into that. And then whenever he was attacked in Luke 4, it was to stop him from that plan. Stop him from getting into that plan. Because that was increase. The anointing came on him, and now all of a sudden, increase of the anointing, an increase in miracles, an increase in what Jesus was sent here to do. So he was intentionally attacked. Then the second time was right before, actually in the garden when he was praying. We have it in Matthew 26, where he was under intense pressure, sweating great drops like as of blood, under intense pressure. Remember the Bible said in Hebrews, you've not yet resisted unto blood standing against sin. See, Jesus was standing against the sin of disobedience. The pressure was to say, I'm not going to the cross. You know what I'm talking about. I'm out of here. Forget this. Intense pressure. We've not had that kind of pressure coming. Or we've not had to stand with such intensity against us that the pressure on us caused blood to come out of our pores. We haven't stood like that yet. But Jesus did. And he stood, and thank God he did, because we're all redeemed because he didn't say, I'm out of here. Thank God. And listen, there's some folks that are going to thank God if you don't quit. There's some folks that are going to say, I'm so glad you didn't give up. Brother Hagin, I was sitting in Bible school in second year. And I'd sit there for the first year, you know, and then I'm in the second year. And I'm sitting in his class, Faith Library, one day. You know, I'd been there the whole first year, then second year, all the first half. And I'm in the second half now. And I'm sitting there. I'll never forget. It's just burning my mind. I could almost take you to the seat where I was, if we went into that auditorium, where the seat was where I was sitting. But anyway, this whole big room full of students, we're all sitting there, Brother Hagin's teaching, ministering. And I'm sitting there. And I'm sitting there, you know, intently listening. And while he was talking, turned nostalgic or something like that. I don't know how to say it. I started looking around and thinking, I'm sitting at the feet of the leading prophet in the land. Little Mennonite boy. Came from milking cows, plowing fields. Didn't have much anything but a high school education. And got it in my heart to go to Bible school. And here I am sitting here. I'm looking around thinking, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. I think maybe some tears started welling up in my eyes. And listening to him teach, I'm thinking, this is changing my life. The trajectory of my life, whenever I obeyed to go to Bible school, changed. Hallelujah. So grateful. I never forget it. Never will be unthankful. Thankful for that school and all those who, Brother Hagin, you know, he started it, but Pastor and Miss Lynette, they were involved. They did a lot of the work and the leg work and so forth. Grateful, thankful for them and so forth and so on. All the staff and everybody. But you know, God really sent me there to sit at the feet of Brother Hagin. And so I'm just sitting there thinking, thank God for his obedience. Thank God whenever they put him in a chicken coop to sleep. He didn't say, I'm quitting. Amen. Thank God whenever they only had one weenie and a piece of bread to eat for 3 days, that he didn't say, I'm quitting. Thank God he persevered through all that opposed him, and he stood on the word and didn't quit. Amen, because he had intense pressure against him to quit. And so I'm just sitting there thankful. But see, we need to realize that there are people that will be thankful that we didn't quit in the same way. Someone said, well, I'm not Brother Hagin. Well, not right now. I don't mean to be disrespectful, but at the beginning, he was string bean from Tom Bean. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
If he wasn't Brother Hagin like we know him now, Amen. Yeah. Amen. So you might feel like today you're string bean from Tom Bean, you know? But see, well, how's God going to use you? How's God going to use you? What kind of blessing are you going to be? See, he's not just opposing you. He's opposing all the people you're going to reach. And if you stand and don't give in and you learn how to do this and you decide, I'm not quitting, then your children that come after you, those that you're going to reach and so forth and so on are going to thank God for you. And the Bible says over there in 1 Peter, I don't know if you ever read it, Peter talks about by people that endure hardship and so forth and don't quit. He talks about they'll have a more grand entrance into the kingdom of God. Talking about when they get into heaven.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I mean, I want, whenever I get to heaven, I want person after person say to me, I'm so glad you didn't quit. I'm so glad you didn't quit. So glad you didn't give up. Because when you got that word to me, it changed my life. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Well, why all the pressure? Because of where you're going. Amen. Jesus had pressure because of what he was going to do in the kingdom of God. Peter had pressure because of how God was going to use him. Are you there? Do you have a vision? Has God got some plans for anybody in here? Amen. But on top of all that, Satan just doesn't want you to ever get the revelation that he's defeated. He's already defeated. You've already defeated him. The pressure is to hold you, try to hold your mind out of the truth, the revelation of the truth, and keep you over in the realm of feelings, emotions, and, well, you know, I don't know about this Bible that they're preaching. Amen. But you see, it's really, you've got a life to live here. You got years ahead of you yet to live. And those can either be years of victory or years of misery. And if you'll learn this, take these opportunities. Satan's given you a wonderful opportunity to learn faith.
Amen.
If you'll decide, I'm not going to live defeated. If you'll decide, I'm going to learn how to overcome this.
Amen.
If you'll decide that. And you'll learn how to do this, and you practice and become a doer of the word, you're going to be stronger as a result of doing this rather than saying, I'm out. The enemy, the pressure of the enemy is to get you to back out. But to back out is not, you're not going to get the relief you think. Do you understand what I'm talking about? The relief you seek is not in backing out, backing up from the word, quitting, of saying, I'm not going to stand anymore. The pressure of the enemy is to get you to back out. But you never get what you want yielding to the enemy.
Right.
Yielding to pressure.
Yes.
I mean, why? If that's what is going to give you what you want, relief, then why is the enemy pressuring you to go that direction? Because he knows that will not give you relief, that will put you in more bondage. Well, Pastor, I didn't sign up for all this. Neither did I. But I had to learn, and I did learn to stand. And I've learned that the devil's a liar and that he's defeated.
Come on now.
And I had to learn that if I'll stand, I can win, and I can get to the other side of that season and get into that increase he was trying to oppose. And I'm telling you, and when you get to the other side and you get into the increase, You'll say, it was worth it all. It was worth it all. Every effort I had to put forth to stand, every spiritual discipline I had to develop, every casting down of imagination, moment to moment sometimes, casting down imaginations, everything I've learned, I am so thankful I learned it.
Amen.
I'm so thankful I decided to develop skill, and I decided to be a doer of the word and get better at this. Because I got a whole life to live now in victory, not in torment. I know how to do this now. I don't mean this literally, but you almost want to thank the devil for giving you the opportunity to learn it. No, we're not sadistic, you know. But amen. But I'm telling you, don't say why me. Say I'm going to take this opportunity to learn. Praise God. Hallelujah. You can take a long time or you can just decide. You can make a wholehearted commitment to be a doer of the word.
Yeah.
And that'll make this season a lot shorter.
Amen.
I said it'll make this season a lot shorter. I don't know about you, but I like to shorten these kinds of things up. Meaning I've learned how to do it and I have actually practiced the word and Satan could not hold out against me.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Glory
to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So I'm here to encourage you, not to condemn you. I'm here to encourage you and tell you, if you saw what was on the other side of this, you would just jump in with both feet. I mean, jump into the word to be a doer of the word, and I'm not going to quit. You just decide I'm not going to quit. I'm going to stand.
Amen.
See, what's the opposite of stand? It means fall, or it means to back up or give in. See, notice a couple of these times where it says stand. I want you to notice what the next word is right after that. Like, for example, here in verse 11, stand. What's the word after that?
Against.
Right? Then in verse number 13, stand, withstand, stand. Isn't that right? And he's talking about against. Look at verse 12. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against.
Yeah.
We're standing against something.
Yeah.
So when we say, what is the opposite of stand? It means to give in against their pressure.
That's right.
The forces of darkness.
Yeah.
The pressure of the forces of darkness. It means to give in.
Yeah.
Fall would be one way to describe giving in.
Yeah.
But not resisting any longer is giving in.
Yeah.
You understand? Can go over here to Psalm chapter number 112. Psalm chapter number 112. I'm on a rescue mission tonight. And we're just here to help people. Jesus said, well, we'll get to that. But here in Psalm 112, it tells us about the righteous. It says, surely, verse 6, surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be an everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. This is one you need to make a confession. If Satan's really opposing you right now, you need to learn to make this confession. Take this verse and make this your confession. I, take verse 6, I will not be moved. Mr. Devil, I will not be moved. I will not be moved from my stand of faith. I will not be moved in your pressure against me. You're not going to get me to back up. You're not going to get me to take your thought. You're not going to get me to give up and give in. Your pressure means nothing to me. I'm standing. Now, you can feel like you're failing, but if you're still standing, you're not failing. What am I doing wrong? It seems like all this is coming against me. I must be doing something wrong. No, as long as you're standing, you're doing something right. Don't let the devil tell you you're failing. That's just one of his strategies to get you to quit standing. Well, I already failed anyway. Might as well just go ahead and sin. Go back out into the world. Go. No, that's a lie of the devil. You haven't failed. You're still standing. Stand. Just stand. You can feel terrible. You can feel like a failure, but that's all that influence of that demonic opposition and that pressure. You know what I'm talking about? An oppression. That atmosphere of the enemy coming against you is making you feel like a failure. But that feeling is only coming from him. It's not reality. He's a liar and the father of lies. So that feeling of a failure is part of this strategy. Learn not to give in to the feelings. Well, if I'm having victory, I don't feel like it. Well, that's part of his strategy, the feelings.
That's right.
We don't walk by feelings. And that's one of the things that as you stand, you get, because the Bible talks about the trying of your faith like gold being tried in fire. The fire purifies gold. So take the enemy's fire and use it as an opportunity to get out all that tendency to walk by your feelings and walk by your emotions. I mean, this is a good opportunity to get the dross out of your faith. If you're going to be stable, anybody in here want to be a stable Christian? If you're going to be stable, you're going to have to stay put in the hard places. Well, I didn't sign up for hard places. Well, when you said yes to you walking by faith, you signed up for hard places. But see, that doesn't mean defeated places. It just means places where Satan opposes you. And to be honest with you, if you'll show him that it doesn't work. Come on. If you'll show him that it doesn't work.
Come on.
Well, because that's a sign you need to be blinking in the spirit realm. It's not going to work. It used to work on me, but it's not going to work anymore. If you'll show him that it doesn't work, then whenever he comes, he'll come with a knowledge this isn't going to last long. Because they're going to stand. They're not going to back up. Somebody asked Brother Hagin one time, why are you so stable? He's such a solid, stable, man of God, man of faith, and so forth. And so he said, because I've suffered. 1 Peter 5:10. 1 Peter 5:10. You ever read 1 Peter 5:10? Let's go over there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But I wanted you to see here in Psalm 112, not be moved. His heart is fixed. His heart is established. And that's what some of you need to, the confession some of you need to make. That's the confession some of you need to make every morning. And keep it in your mouth all day long. I'm talking to somebody here tonight. This is not just a nice teaching service. This is hitting the mark. So every morning you say, my heart is fixed. I'll not be moved. My heart is established. I'll see my desire upon my enemy. Ha, ha, ha. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid. That's what those verses say. And say that regularly, daily, moment to moment if you have to. Then here in 1 Peter 5:10, he says, but the God of all grace who has called us unto his eternal glory. See, we've talked about the glory lately. He's called us to glory. By Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Perfect means mature. Establish means, unmovable. Establish. Strong means strengthen, means strong. And settle you. Settle means, you're just unmovable. I mean, you're no longer to and fro. You're settled.
Yes, sir.
That sounds a lot like Psalm 112, doesn't it? Heart is fixed.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Unmoved. And Brother Hagin said, that's the reason that I'm so stable, so settled, is because I've suffered. That verse right there is what he's quoting. Well, bless God, I just want to be strong and, be unmoved and settled and strong and stalwart like that just by feeding on the word. It won't work, honey. You're going to have to stand against some of these things. Not because God sent them.
No.
but because Satan is opposing your forward movement. He opposes forward movement. He comes for the word's sake. He comes because he sees increase coming ahead of you. He comes because he sees the plan of God, and he's trying to oppose the plan of God. So you got to realize, whenever it comes time for increase, when it comes time to, because of the position you're in, and so forth and so on, when these things oppose you, you got to realize, this is my opportunity to become more settled. This is my opportunity to grow stalwart as a spiritual, as a faith man, or as a spiritual person.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. No more tossed to and fro.
Come on.
What used to work on me is not going to work anymore.
That's right.
Come on.
Whew, glory be to God. I mean, I don't mean to be boastful, because that gets you in trouble, but some people, they're younger spiritually, and I was there too. I'm not spiritually fully mature yet, you understand? I'm not trying to say I am, but I'm further along than I used to be, and they got started later, and they're coming along, but they're not as mature as I am. There's people more mature than me, so I'm not trying to brag about, you know, where I am. You know, as soon as you get to bragging, your feet are going to be held. Your head's going to be where your feet were a few moments ago. So I'm not trying to do that, but I'm here to say, because I've suffered and I've been under intense pressure, and I decided I'm not quitting.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey.
And I didn't quit. Now I'm stable.
Hallelujah.
You know, more stable. I'm getting more stable all the time. But so forth and so on. Sometimes people, they say what's coming against them, and so forth and so on. And I leave the meeting and I want to say, my goodness, such piddly little stuff.
Come on.
Yeah.
Because I've suffered through that kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
And on a scale of 1 to 10, that's a 0.5.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Come on.
And things I'm standing against, maybe, I don't know, 5, 6, 7, something like that.
Come on now.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
See, that's the result of standing through these things.
Yeah.
Little stuff doesn't bother you anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
Come on now. That's right. Oh, we need $10,000 next week? Oh, okay. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Woo! Glory be to God. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Glory be to God.
I'm preaching myself happy. Something tells me this isn't going to end tonight. I don't know. I'm just. But, all right. Do you see that?
Yeah.
The God of all grace. He's called you to glory. That's not just whenever you go to heaven.
Yeah.
He's called you to walk in the glory down here. But where's the glory? It's on the other side of that suffering. Now, I'm not talking sickness and disease. I'm not talking about the curse. I'm talking about this spiritual battle, this pressure to get you to back up, get you to quit, the pressure of thoughts. After you've been through that, there's glory on the other side of that. If you don't quit.
Don't quit.
If you stand.
That's right.
Now, if you quit, go to Hebrews chapter number. Let's see here. Here's what's yours if you quit. You don't want to quit. Look at Hebrews chapter number 10. Verse number 35. Cast not away therefore your confidence. See, remember, I said to you that Peter over there in 1 Peter talked about the trial of your faith being more precious than of gold that's tried in the fire. That's what's being tried, is your faith. And he's trying to strip you of your confidence. He's trying to get you to cast it away. Verse 10, chapter 10, verse 35 here in Hebrews. Cast not away therefore your confidence. That's what he's after. That's what he's after. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. What is that? Well, one of the things it is the glory.
Yeah.
On the other side of this test and this pressure is the glory.
Hallelujah.
Amen. And then also stable. Settled. Stalwart.
Hallelujah.
The devil can't blow you around like he used to blow you around. Can't move you like he used to move you. Ooh, glory be to God.
Glory to God.
Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. You know, I can take some. I can take my pickup truck. I don't because I don't want to mess it up. But I could take my pickup truck or some, you know, machine or something, go through the woods and just plow over a whole lot of trees, little things, you know. But you get these big oaks that have been there and they got their roots way down in there. That thing will mess. That thing will tear your truck in half.
Yeah.
Trying to pull it out or trying to run it over.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen. And that's how you can get spiritually where you tear the devil in half. He comes against you and it's going to mess him up. Glory. That's what God has for you. And listen, if you'll stand and that you get the reward, which has great recompense and reward, you stand and you get the reward, then the life that you get to live is so sweet. Sweet. Just sweet. It's an amazing place to be in a place where you know the devil cannot move you. All right. Which hath great recompense and reward. For you have need of patience that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Notice patience. That means endurance. If everything you're believing for showed up immediately, then you wouldn't need patience. You know, sometimes to get to the throne, you got to go through Goliath. David got to the throne and ruling in Israel, but he had to go through Goliath.
That's real good. That's real good.
Not because God sent Goliath, but because the devil sent Goliath. The Satan will try to oppose your forward progress. He'll try to oppose you moving into the glorious things that God has for your life. The places he has for you to stand, the anointings he has for you to stand in. He's trying to keep you from getting to that. So he'll put up a Goliath. But you can take him.
Yes,
he can. Hallelujah. But it's going to take a stand. You're going to have patience. Patience doesn't mean sit back and wait on God to do something. Patience means perseverance. You have need of, verse 36, you have need of perseverance that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, remember I said to you, if you stand, then here's what belongs to you, the glory, stability, and so forth. And I said to you, but if you draw back, something else belongs to you. Here's what it belongs to you. If any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. We are not of them that draw back unto what? Perdition. You look that word up, it means destruction. Some of your newer translations might, if you got a different translation, might say that. He said, verse 39, we're of not of them that draw back. Say that out loud. We're not of them that draw back.
We're not of them that draw back.
Say it like you're including yourself. We are not of them that draw back. I am not of them that draw back. What do we do though? We're not of them that draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe. And according to verse 36, continue to stand in faith. Patience means continue. Believe to the saving of the soul. Whew. My goodness, I'm almost out of time already. So what happens? What's ours if we draw back? Destruction. But where of them that believe to what? The saving of the soul is the mind, will, and emotions. Glory to God. The soul wants to pout in these places. It wants to you know, cry and be emotional. Wants to pout. Wants to feel bad for yourself. Wants to have a pity party. Why me? And so forth. And that's the soul in the middle of a test or a trial. That's unrenewed. I'm talking about one that's unrenewed. But if you'll stand and get possession of your soul. That's what the Weymouth translation says. Rather than believe to the saving of the soul, it says believe and so win possession of their souls. Amen. Praise the Lord. The saving of the soul means you're getting a hold of your soul, your mind, and your emotions.
Yes.
It's coming under the dominion of the spirit man, which is another benefit.
Yes.
of standing under that pressure.
Yes.
You start developing your spirit man. Your spirit man takes the lead rather than your mind and your emotions. And so that's another reason you become more stable, because you won't enter into the mind and start thinking mental thoughts against the word.
Yes.
And you won't enter into the emotions and the feelings and the pity party and the, you know, so forth and so on. And it gets all that burn out of you. Gets all that, you get weaned off of that.
Amen.
Hallelujah. The psalmist David said through the tests and trials he went in, he said, "My soul is as a weaned child." So you need to get weaned off your emotions, weaned off your soul, weaned off of those thoughts of pity party and so forth and so on. And boy, I'll tell you, that's the glory right there whenever you get weaned off of it.
Yeah.
You get weaned off of it. Now it's time, now you're going to live glorious rather than living in the mind and living in the emotions. You're going to live in the glory of God because you're living out of your spirit. And your spirit, man, rules.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Just know that if you give in to pity parties, feeling bad for yourself, just know the devil's working on you.
Yes, sir.
Just know that in that realm, there's no freedom. There's no, that's a realm where you're going to stay bound.
That's right. Yes,
sir. Don't let him hold you in that realm.
Yeah.
Answer those feelings. Answer those thoughts. Are you out there this morning or this evening or whenever it is? I don't know what time it is. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I said hallelujah.
So
if you're in one of these seasons of pressure, just know what Satan's trying to do. He's trying to sift you. He's trying to get you to back up. He's trying to get you to quit. But if you'll stand, God's got glory for you. Praise the Lord. Pastor Debbie and I have gone through things, you know, as well as everybody else goes through things. And there's always a little bit of pressure and so forth, but there's been seasons, a couple of seasons where it was intense.
Yeah.
I mean, just intense, because Jesus said over there, or the Bible said over there in Luke 4, that there was this season for Jesus. Actually, we know of two seasons for Jesus. But this one, it says, after Satan tempted Jesus in the wilderness for those 40 days, he left him for a season.
Yeah.
Meaning there are seasons
yeah.
of pressure.
Yeah.
There are seasons of more restful.
Yes.
And so when you go through one of these seasons, it's usually, Pastor Debbie and I have learned this, it's usually because on the other side of that is tremendous blessings and tremendous increase. And he's trying to keep you out of that. Amen. That's just not giving you false hope tonight. That's just giving you the word of God. And that's giving you something to hold on to and to not give in. Hallelujah. Don't ever make decisions about what you're going to do, whether it's marriage or whether it's, you know, the plan of God for your life or the church you're going to or whatever, even jobs or something like that. Don't ever make decisions under that kind of pressure. Because you'll make a decision under the influence of the enemy. The Lord said to me one time, he said, if you ever do anything, including a job, he was talking to me about a job. I was in a job. I just wanted to quit. I barely wanted to go into the building every morning. Because I had so many more things in ministry in my heart. And so I said, Lord, I remember once sitting out there one morning and I just really thought about putting the car in gear again, just leaving. I'm not showing up anymore. And he spoke to me. He said, if you ever make a decision out of that kind of pressure, when it's not the witness of the Spirit, it's just under that pressure. See, most Christians don't know the difference between the witness of the Spirit and the pressure of the enemy coming out here. He said, if you ever do that, he said, you'll be out of my will. You'll be out of my will. So I walked in. There was a battle going on. You know what a battle's going on feels like. You know what it's like. But see, just make the decision tonight, I'm never going to make that kind of decision under that kind of pressure. Never. Never for the rest of my life. Never! If I get a release in my spirit, that's a different thing. But when it comes to the pressure of the enemy, I will never back down. I'll never back up. I'll never make a decision under that kind of pressure. Amen. Did you get anything out of the word tonight? Praise God for the truth. Praise God. Something tells me that there's more to this. I'm going to stick with it until the Lord's done with it. But hallelujah. Praise God. Stand to your feet with me. Praise God. Praise the Lord. A lot of what we're talking about is pressure against the mind. Pressure, thoughts just coming. I know what that's like. And I'm not here to condemn you tonight. I'm here to just kind of buoy you up and strengthen you and say, kind of bring you into reality of what is there, what's on the other side of that if you stand. Hallelujah. Say this out loud. In fact, close your eyes. Hold up one hand to heaven. Say this out loud. Say, Father God, I thank you for your word tonight. I receive it.
I
decide
right now,
I'm not backing up.
I'm not quitting.
I will not give in.
Pressure will never
move me.
My heart is fixed.
My heart is established.
I will not be moved.
Hallelujah.
Satan,
you're under my feet.
You're under my feet.
I tread on you.
Ha ha ha.
When you bring that pressure against me,
I see it as an opportunity
to become stronger.
I swallow giants up.
I take in
the food,
the nourishment
that I get
from God's Word,
and also
the reinforcement I get from heaven
as I stand.
I take that strength into me tonight.
I will not back up.
And God will not fail me.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
He will strengthen
me.
He will strengthen my resolve
in order to stand.
Hallelujah.
I'm getting stronger
as I obey
and as I walk by faith.
Thank God.
Thank God
for the privilege
of standing on the Word
and becoming stronger.
Glory to God.
I will be
and am being
weaned
off of my soul
and my emotions
and my feelings
in the middle of all this.
And I resist the devil.
And I resist the temptation
to live out of my emotions.
Ha ha ha.
I'm being weaned.
And whenever I'm weaned,
I'll become more mature spiritually.
Hallelujah.
The glory is ahead for me.
The glory is ahead for me.
And I want that glory.
So I'm not going to give in.
The Lord will be faithful
and take me on into all that He has for me.
From glory to glory.
Hallelujah.
And now say this. This
season
will not last forever.
See, the devil is trying to tell some of us, well, is it going to be this way the rest of my life?
No. Not this kind of intensity.
It'll be a season.
Amen. So say it again.
This season
will not last forever.
Ha ha ha.
But I'm willing to stand
as long as it takes.
Hallelujah.
And that resolve to do whatever, to
stand as long as it takes.
Say it out loud.
That resolve to stand as long as it takes.
Means I won't have to stand that long.
Because that's half the battle right there.
Ha ha ha.
Ha ha ha.
I rejoice
in the middle of all this.
I count it all joy
because I've fallen into this.
Thank God.
Not for the test, but for the opportunity to stand and to develop my faith. Woo, glory! Woo, glory! Hallelujah! 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 Praise God! Praise God! Praise God! Praise God! You know, there's no glory. You know, all of us start out spiritually children, like a you know, like we do naturally. We start out spiritually as a baby, just like we do naturally. And like we go through school, like for example, we start out kindergarten, first grade, so forth and so on. And there's no glory. There's no condemnation for being in kindergarten if that's where we are. But there's no glory in staying there. We got to start passing these tests. Just like we do in first grade, we got to pass tests to get to second grade. Because with God, there's no such thing as social promotion. You can be with God 17 years old physically, still flunking tests of kindergarten level, and still be, you'll 17 years old, still spiritually a baby and still in spiritual kindergarten. It's embarrassing. Amen. Or you can keep passing your test and keep doing the word and obeying the Lord, not backing out, being faithful, praise the Lord, not quitting, and keep progressing. Hallelujah. And there's a lot of benefits of growing up. A lot of benefits. Hallelujah. One of them is you can be entrusted with more. Amen. And so just know there's glory ahead. Praise the Lord. Lift your hands one more time. Just thank Him for the glory. Glory is ahead. Hallelujah. We're going from glory to glory and strength to strength. Praise God. Praise God. I know some, I've had conversations with some and so forth, and I've had times the Lord has given me words of knowledge and encouraged people along a certain line, and I've had to tell them this. Pastor Debbie and I, of course, we've not arrived, you understand that. But Pastor Debbie and I aren't where we are because we started this yesterday. You understand? It takes time to grow spiritually. And there's things you have to go through, not because God sends it to you, but because the enemy tries to oppose you. But you just decide, I'm going through that. Because if you see where we are and you wonder how it could ever be possible, just know it is possible. But here's how you get there. You just keep on standing. You just keep on standing. Now, I'm not just talking about finances tonight, because that's I'm really not even talking about finances tonight. But I'll give an illustration financially about it. I was driving past, we were coming to church tonight, and I was driving past a development that, I don't know, 10 years ago maybe over 10 years ago, 10 or 12 years ago, Pastor Debbie and I saw this development, and we drove in there, I don't know how many acres, maybe 5 acres per lot or something like that, and we drove in there, and we thought it was a pipe dream to live there. You know, it just seemed so impossible. And then we were driving past there tonight, and I looked in there, and I saw one of their houses in there, and I said, you know, just whatever, how long, 10 or 12 years ago, it was like a pipe dream to live in there. And God gave us one, a house on 50 acres bigger than those.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
But see, that's the result of just standing.
Yes. Yes. Amen.
Now, I'm not just talking about finances tonight, but that's an illustration of what I'm talking about.
Amen.
I'm talking more about the plan of God coming to pass and the fulfillment of the walking in the anointing and the giftings that God has for you and the plan of God and so forth. But that's just an illustration on the natural side. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah!
There's a lot of things that seem impossible right now, but how you get there? You just stand. You keep showing up. You keep passing tests. You keep learning your lessons. You keep being a doer of the word.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I don't know. Something in here is just turning flips tonight.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Anybody had the Lord show you some things in prayer? Things you'd be walking in? Places you'd be in God? Things how He's going to use you? Something like that? Anybody? Come on. If it seems impossible, I'm telling you tonight how to get there.
Amen.
Glory.
Glory.
Glory to God.
Glory.
We're on our way. Anybody on your way?